Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, quick cold opening. I am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Before we get to it, first of all, I want to thank all the people who came out to Oxnard Levity Live. There were so many I am Rappaport Stereo Podcast fans. I got to be honest, I was surprised and overwhelmed by the amount of people that came out to see me do stand-up in Oxnard. Shout out to all the I am Rappaport Stereo Podcast fans that made it out there. I got to say hello, meet and greet with a bunch of you. I didn't get to do it to everybody, but it was really, to be honest, it was overwhelming. I really appreciate it. So that was dope. It's fucked up because when we got off the stage, got in the car, and got home and came back to Los Angeles area, like everybody else, I heard about this terrible incident that took place in mosques in New Zealand, and 49 people were shot dead, others injured by a true blue sick fuck. Not the type of person that makes it to the sick fuck of the week, like a really sick, sick, sick fuck. Live streamed him murdering people while they're praying in a mosque, and put out this whole manifesto about white supremacy and Donald Trump and supporting that. And as you know, I talk a lot of shit about Trump, and I don't agree with most of all of Trump and all that. But you can't blame this incident on Donald Trump. You can't blame this on Republicans. You could only blame this on the no good, deviant, devil, bottom, burnt tar piece of shit that did this, to go into a mosque while people are praying and getting their heads right. And looking for whatever they're looking for while they're praying. The only person that is responsible for this is the fucking guy who did it. And the fact that he live streamed it and that there's footage of this, I really hope it doesn't inspire more people to do terrible things like this. I refuse to look at any of the footage. I don't say his name, don't anything, don't acknowledge it, don't share the footage, don't listen. It is so disgusting and so sad and so scary that people could have their lives taken away in such a drastic way, so quickly, so many people gone because of a sick fuck. And it just, you know, usually we don't start the podcast off like this, but I just wanted to say that me personally, I don't and can't blame anybody. Can't blame anyone, Dick Stain, Donald Trump, no one. The only person that is to blame and responsible for this is the person who did it. And just a sad, devastating thing to hear about after such a great night out in Oxnard. So I just wanted to just acknowledge that. And my thoughts and prayers go out to all the people, lives that have been lost and the families that have been just ruined forever because of one sick fuck. That being said, Michael Rapport, getting into this I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. Let's go. All right. My name is Michael Rapport. You are now listening to the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. On today's podcast, victory celebration, victory walk. The Mike Tyson podcast has been heard around the world, and we are celebrating the greatness. Felicity Huffman and the college scam heard all around the world. Holy fucking shit. Pay for play to get these little shits in college. Plus, it's Sean Price's birthday this weekend. And so much more on a banging, brand new, big body I Am Rapport Stereo podcast coming up next. Miles Jordan, let me get something real nice, something real proper. But most importantly, something real funky. Let's go. All right. Brand new I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. My name is Michael Rapport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. the Jake LaMotta of podcasting, a.k.a. the Great Disruptor. And you are now listening to the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. What a week it has been. It never, when you get to Friday, it never disappoints. You're just always like, whew. I don't know if it was always like that. It has certainly been like that this year. Every single time we get to Friday, I'm like, oh. It, like, I check, like, all my body parts to make sure I didn't lose a limb, give myself a heartbeat rate check, make sure my pulse is still in order, because every single time we get here, it's just like, how the fuck did we make it? What the fuck just happened? I mean, the week that it's been has just been nuts. We're going to get into all of it. First of all, like I said, I want to thank everybody for a great, stupendous response on the Mike Tyson I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. Now, I did say, I did promise greatness, and I feel like we over exceeded even our wildest expectations, but we knew it was going to be good. I was hyped about it, and we've heard from so many people, a lot of people we've heard from in the past, some people I've never heard from before. We were smashing all across the podcast charts, making news, headline news. It's Mike Tyson, it's him. I mean, I was just the facilitator, but Mike is just so honest and so genuine and so just so raw, and I'm such a fan of his for so long. That I just teed him up, and I know that he's in a good place, and he's a work in progress, and I'm so happy that people enjoyed the Mike Tyson I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. We do it raw dog without a bag. We don't cheat the system. We learned about a system in podcasting. There's a way that a bunch of I'm telling you, mark my words.
the rug will get pulled out, okay? And it's going to be a bunch of people. And it's not just going to be podcasters. It's going to be sports sites. And it's going to be fraud. It's going to come back as fraud against podcasts and online. It won't be so much as followers. It's going to go deeper than that because essentially the way it's going to be fraud is we learned about something this week called click farms. Okay, they're called click farms. And it's very indicative of the college scandal and the Fyre Festival and all this desperation to be on the top, this Wolf of Wall Street social network, Napster, I'm the best, I created it, no one can touch me, facade. Most of it is all is a fucking facade. But it turns out that there are click farms. Okay, and that's where you go. There's these places that you pay, these companies that you pay. And the technology is very basic. But basically, like, let's say you have a website. And let's say you have a podcast. It's called, fucking Do or Die Podcast. Let's just throw that out there. I don't even know if there's a podcast called Do or Die Podcast. It's just the Do or Die Podcast. And you want to be number one, and you want to get people to come on your podcast and help you advertise it, sell advertising, so you can make money, and you want to sell belt buckles and all the bullshit that you could sell on butters and all sorts of great things and weird things that people sell on different podcasts. So you go to these click farms and you hire them for a certain amount of money, and you pay like X amount of dollars for them to fake clicks, subscribe, unsubscribe, subscribe, unsubscribe, or like. And it'll give the advertisers and the world the impression that instead of maybe 50 people that are listening to your bullshit Do or Die podcast, 5,000 people are listening to your bullshit Do or Die podcast. And then that 5,000 people will pay for click farms the next week. And then that 5,000 people will go to 7,500 people. And then that 7,500 people will be doubled down. And then that 7,500 people could go to 11,000 people and so forth and so on. And this is a fucking underworld scam that is going on throughout the online community, okay, with podcasts, with websites. Again, it's not as basic as getting likes on Instagram or followers on Instagram, but it's the same thing. But the reason why it's fraud is because let's say you're giving the impression to advertisers that you have, let's just throw it out there, 50,000 people listening to every single podcast. Well, the advertiser goes, wow, they have a big fan base. Let's pay them X amount of dollars to advertise our beer or this hamburger or something really good or tires or something like that. And then they sign up to do 3 months. And then they see there's really no activity. Nobody's buying your tires or your beers or your hamburgers because these 50,000 people are fake. You see? And then that's called fraud. And this is going to wind up being a big, big problem. The rug is going to get pulled out on a bunch of motherfuckers who have been faking jacks in the podcast and online media world. Mark my fucking words, it's called click farms, okay? We, at the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast, we ain't about that click farm life. No, we've been grinding since day one, talking shit like our life depended on it since day one. Blood, sweat, and tears since day one. We're not fucking with those click farms, but mark my fucking words, there is a lot of people out here faking jacks, fucking with those click farms. And when the shit hits the fan, you know what I'm going to be doing? My patented I Am Rappaport, Michael Rappaport, Gringo Mandingo laugh that goes a little something like this. You fuck you. So yeah, these click farms and Fyre Festival, and all these things that have come out in the last few months are all indicative of this college scam situation that broke a couple of days ago. with, of course, Felicity Huffman and the actress from Full House. What is her fucking name? Laura Loughlin. Sorry. Who is also a big star on Hallmark. She does all the Hallmark Channel TV movies. They dropped her already like a bad habit, which I think is kind of fucked up. I think it's kind of fucked up because, you know, Juicy Jesse Somlay, it took them 2 weeks to just say he's not going to be in the rest of the season of Empire. Because they were real careful about that, because it was even more sensitive than this, because you have a black guy who's accusing people of a racial attack and a homophobic attack and way more. Laura Loughlin, just a couple of hours at getting out of prison, she had to turn herself over. Laura Loughlin, the star of Full House and all these Hallmark Channel movies, Hallmark said, bye-bye. They shut her down. Now, for all intents and purposes, her and Felicity Huffman and all these other people that have been all over the news the last few days are most likely guilty of something, okay? We don't know what, and the story is getting wilder and wilder, and there's supposed to be like 50 more names that are coming out. And basically, now I know everybody's heard about it, but basically what it was coming from a few different angles. Some of it was straight up bribery. My kid's a dumb fuck. My kid is not particularly smart. My kid is very lazy. My kid has underachieved because my kid goes to private schools. Yet, with all the tutoring, with all the help, with all the private schooling, my dumb, lazy, probably weed-smoking kid can't get into one of these hot shot, big swinging dick colleges. So Felicity Huffman, who's married to William H. Macy, we all know who William H. Macy is, the very talented Academy Award winning actor who, of course, was in Fargo. He's on Shameless. William H. Macy, the redheaded dude, you know who he is. That's Felicity Huffman's husband. Now, his name has been thrown around in it because Felicity Huffman, she also went to prison this week, jail. Went to jail, and then, you know, got out on bail. And they put these motherfuckers up on $1 million bail. This is fucking crazy. You know, you could catch a gun charge and not get $1 million bond or bail. But this is white-collar crime to the fullest. It's federal shit and all that stuff. And because it's so high profile, they're not fucking around. But basically, a bunch of rich parents with little fucking kids who are lazy, and despite the fact that they have tutoring and go to all the best schools, they can't get into colleges. The colleges that have been named, you know, USC, that was one of the big schools, Georgetown, Yale, UCLA, Wake Forest. I mean, it's all Stanford, big fucking schools, Texas, like the big, big swinging dicks schools. And the most basic way is, hey, my daughter, asshole, number one, she can't get into the school. And I know the fee to get in, the tuition is like $75,000. How about we give you $500,000 and you take my dumbass two kids into your college? That was the straight up way, where they just simply are giving money to the school. The other thing that has been going on is having people take the ACT and SAT exam in exchange for money. And it's crazy because I had the rights to a story that I saw on 60 Minutes probably like 5 or 6 years ago. This kid named Sam Eshigoff. Look this guy up. He's from Long Island. This was all over the news, and I saw it on 60 Minutes. And at one point, I had Brian Grazer's company. We were going to do a movie about it because it was just like, this is a movie. Very Wolf of Wall Street-esque, very Social Network-esque. But this kid, Sam Eshigoff, who was kind of a fuck-up but really, really, really smart from Long Island, he and a couple of other people were being paid by friends and parents to take the SAT for other kids. And he took it about 15 times for other kids. The first time he did it for his best friend. Then he did it for his girlfriend. How did he do it for his girlfriend? His girlfriend had a, her name was like Gray or something like that. Like she had an androgynous name. And then he wound up, you know, getting, accepting money from people's parents and Long Island. Parts of it are still very affluent. And then he was doing it for people in Manhattan. It was a crazy story. And I wanted to turn it into a movie. We were just never able to get the script, you know, correct and never get it up to par and live up to the real story. Because, you know, a lot of times people go, I got a great story. And they might have a great story. But it's hard to sometimes turn a great story into a great screenplay, which will inevitably and hopefully, because you never know. You never know. You could have a great real life story that'll turn into a great screenplay, and you could still not have a great movie. Making a great movie, it ain't easy. So many different things have to come into play, including the acting, the directing, the editing. It just, you never fucking know. We were never able to get the screenplay greenlit to make the film, but it's still a great story. Nonetheless, this guy, William Singer, who's the real skinny-looking gray-haired guy who's been all over the news this week, had a for-profit college counseling and preparatory business in Newport Beach, California. Newport Beach is actually where Mike Tyson lives now. He has nothing to do with this, but Newport Beach has come up a lot. But these parents would pay $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 to have the ACT or SAT or both tests taken in their kid's name. They would pay the people at the testing place to turn their head, and then their kids would get good scores, which is, of course, the simplest way. There were also parents, and this guy, William Singer, who this fucking guy's going to jail for sure, because he's all and tied up into this thing. They were also paying this guy and his company to pay bribes to college coaches. Now, it wasn't football teams and basketball teams. It would be the other sports like water polo and rowing and tennis teams and shit that you could get away with. Shit at other schools that it's important, but it's not as important as like a basketball team, football team, or even a baseball team. So the college coaches would designate students as recruits for the competitive college athletic teams, regardless if some of these fucking kids even played sports. So they would send in applications of, let's say, you know, the kid's name is Tommy, playing football, and he's a punter and he's on the rowing team, but they were photoshopping it like Mr. Morris. Like Mr. Morris might be in on this scheme. The Ian Rapoport Stereo Podcast Minister of Defense and most coveted meme creator, he could be indicted in this fucking thing. Did you make any photoshops for this, Morris? Who knows? Because the list is getting bigger and bigger and bigger by the hour. By the hour. And this is such a hot button topic this week because it deals with privilege, obviously white privilege, and just the lengths that we as parents, and I have kids, you know, will go to try to fake it. Until we make it. You know, everybody wants their kids to do well. You know, everybody wants their kids to have opportunities. But if you're paying, you know, $1.3 million and $500,000 and $350,000, these are the different numbers that have been thrown around by different parents. $1.2 by another parent. $400,000 by another parent. To get your kid into a college that they can't get into on their own, we have an issue. Listen, not everybody is that fucking dude. And that's the whole Fyre Festival connection with this whole thing. Motherfuckers have watched too much television. Motherfuckers are hopped up on that Wolf of Wall Street. They want that instant success. And if the parents are successful, they don't want their kids to be loser little shits. Well, I got to tell you something. What made the parents successful, the actors, the successful people, the businessmen, isn't going to necessarily, and most of the time, or I should say some of the time, because I'm not fact-checking or stat-checking, it isn't going to translate to the kids because whatever drove that successful parent doesn't usually exist in a kid that grew up on Fifth Avenue or in Beverly Hills or in Bel Air or Brentwood. And if your father or your mother's a famous actress, you're not going to have the drive. You know, you usually don't see, like, Serena Williams' kids is not going to wind up being a great tennis player as Serena Williams. You know, you see some of these kids who wind up being in the NBA, Gary Payton Jr. and LeBron James Jr., and I wish all of them luck, but it's never as good. You know, Michael Jordan had a son who played college basketball. He wasn't as good as his father. And we as parents, listen, I'm surprised this hasn't, the roof hasn't fallen in on this in high schools, because my kids, when it was time to get them into the private schools in Los Angeles, the frenzy and the chaos and the stress that all the parents, including me and my kids, were going through to get to this high school and that high school, it's insane. And, oh, well, I'm going to call this administrator. And I know this parent. He's on the parent-teachers thing, and I worked with him. And it's fucking crazy. And when it gets to college, it's even more. But I got to say this to these parents. Yo, at a certain point, you got to accept and you got to tell your kid they ain't shit. They ain't never going to be shit. Okay? And buying their way into school is just slowing down the inevitable, where they need to either sink or fucking swim on their own. If your kid ain't shit and your kid ain't working hard, and your kid is totally privileged and had everything handed to them, that shit is going to catch up to them before college or 4 years after college. You can't buy success for your kids. And unless you're like super duper duper elite like Dick Stain, Donald Trump. Dick Stain, Donald Trump, his son, those goofy motherfuckers, Eric and Dick Stain, Donald Trump Jr., you could just read it on their face that they ain't shit. Listen, Bush's son, I mean, but these are, we're talking about billionaires. But Joe Schmo actor and this person, and I'm paying $100,000. Yo, it's going to catch up with you inevitably. Your son ain't on the rowing team. Your daughter ain't on the tennis team. She never even played tennis in her life. So many people have gotten fired. They got coaches from schools that have gotten fired so far. They got deans of schools. The former head of the soccer team at Yale got fired. The UCLA head coach of the men's soccer team. Bye-bye, asshole. USC is a shithole. If you don't remember, we discussed that the dean of the medical school about a year and a half ago, this creep cocksucker, the dean of the medical school got fired and arrested because he was doing meth on campus in his office with hookers and other students. Look it up. I mean, this whole college thing, listen, I can't speak on it. Because I'm an actor, and I didn't go to college, and I got lucky. I got lucky. And I still get lucky, and I still bust my fucking ass and work my fucking ass off. You know, I really think that people are just misleading their kids by trying to, you know, buy them into success. The shit don't work. It's going to catch up with you sooner or later. The University of San Diego, they're involved. Paid $100,000 to this one and $10,000 to a coach to fake an applicant. They're trying to pay coaches. They were paying coaches to give them fake scholarships. And now you got different kids. Everybody's trying to get a come up. Now you got kids that apply to some of these schools like Texas, UCLA, University of San Diego, and USC that didn't get in. Now these fucks are trying to sue the schools. You didn't get in. It probably didn't have to do with Felicity Huffman's kid or not. But if you didn't get into Wake Forest or UCLA or USC, you ain't suing nobody. You should have went to a different school. Everybody's trying to get a come up. This is that Instagram social media world. Everybody's looking at the Kardashians and their fake rubber asses and DJ Khaled and his fucking, his water skis and his jet skis and his chef and his watches and his rings, and everybody wants that. Yo, that life is not for everybody. And that life is not all that it's meant out to be. So this whole college, Felicity Huffman, Laura Loughman, homeboy, the main dude, William Singer, and the Edge College Career Network, this shit is going to continue to be talked about because they haven't gotten to the bottom of it. They haven't even gotten to the middle of it yet. People are dropping like flies left and right. And I really think it's probably been going on in a lesser form for longer than we know. But there's like a track record, and the FBI is involved, and there's a federal investigation. This is a fucking mess here. I Am Rappaport Podcast. What else is going on? NBA. So my guy, Amari Stoudemire, former Phoenix Sun, former New York Knick, current goon. He played in the Big Three last year. He still got it. You know, his career was definitely cut shorter than it should have been with his greatness. Like he played for a long time, but after that terrible knee injury he had in Phoenix, he was never as explosive. But when Amari Stoudemire was rocking and cooking and dunking on people's head when he first came into the league, and I believe he came into the league when he was 19, he was a fucking savage with it. He was mean. He was quick. He was a quick jumper, and he had big fucking hands, and he would grapefruit a dunk on your fucking neck. And I've always liked him as a player. Got to know him a little bit as a guy last summer with the Big Three. And he's a good dude, and he's, you know, he's evolved, you know, and he's into art, and he's just like a cool dude who has grown up. You know, he's grown up and, you know, he came up rough in Florida. He had a rough upbringing. And I know when he first moved to New York to play for the Knicks, it seemed like a joke. You know, he had talked about hearing at one point that his mother was Jewish, and it was kind of like taken lightly. But he's, since that time, far as I know publicly, you know, he has really taken it serious about what kind of, if he in fact was a Jew. And all that. He spent a lot of time in Israel. He played basketball in Israel. He studied Judaism. And, you know, he's really sincere and serious about this. And I wanted to say, Amari Stoudemire is now a dual citizen with the United States and Israel. You know, he was bar mitzvahed. He's really, you know, about that Jewish life. Unfortunately, he's not playing basketball in the NBA. Otherwise, he would, I would have to say, have to put him in top five Jews of all time. But the fact that Amari Stoudemire is so about that Judaism and takes it so seriously, more serious than I could say I have, and understanding what it means to be a Jew, and just the whole history and the faith, and understanding Israel and Jerusalem, and he's just really into it, and he supports it, and he studies it. And Amari Stoudemire is now a dual citizen of the United States and Israel, so I want to shout him out. I also wanted to shout out Jeannie Buss. You know, you never really know, and it's unclear who's doing what and who's the fucking big dog. But Jeannie Buss, daughter of Jerry Buss, who is the owner of the Lakers, and then the brother, her brother, was running the Lakers. And then Jeannie Buss was dating Phil Jackson for a long time, years. And, of course, she's the owner of the Lakers now. She's really the one who inevitably, I think, is the big dick swinging in the Laker organization. It came out through some emails, and it's been fact-checked very thoroughly, that Jeannie Buss was so pissed off with Rich Paul. Rich Paul is the agent of the Clutch Sports. Rich Paul is one of LeBron James' best friends. He runs that agency that represents Anthony Davis. She was so fucking pissed off by the whole Anthony Davis, Rich Paul, and the leaking of the news and how it was handled by the Lakers, that apparently in the last 6 weeks, she was ready to trade LeBron James during the season. Now, I don't see that ever happening, but the fact, you know, she's seen it all. She's dealt with Magic, Kobe, Shaq, and of course everybody wants to have LeBron on their team. Of course, she probably didn't want to trade LeBron, but she was so disgusted by the way him and his crew tried to run a coup on the Lakers. Like, yo, we represent Anthony Davis. We're going to say he's going to be traded, and we're going to start making leaks and the Wojciechowski of it all. And fuck these guys. these insider guys, these Wojciechowski guys with their leaks, their whole life, their whole life's blood is leaks. And when you got guys like Rich Paul and you got guys like LeBron James trying to do whatever they think they need to do to get Anthony Davis traded to their team because that's what they want, this is what happens. And this is what the Knicks have been dealing with for years, leaking fucks. You know, whether it's a PR guy, whether it's somebody in the training staff, whether it's a secretary, and there's so many people behind the scenes in a basketball team. It's a business. You know, you have all sorts of different coaches, assistants, coach press people for the players. I mean, there's like different facets of different teams. You know, they're businesses. And I know the Knicks have gone out of their way to try to get rid of the fucking leakers. You know, so you can make a trade like the way they made the Porzingis trade quietly. And the only time Wojciechowski and the rest of the world finds out about it is when it's announced and it's official. As much as I was frustrated by the Porzingis trade, that's the way trades are supposed to be made. Not coups by Anthony Davis announcing, I want to be traded, and then the fucking rest of the league is just supposed to, you know, run and get their blankets and their baba and their fucking pacifiers so Anthony Davis and Rich Paul and LeBron James can be satisfied. Here's your blanket, here's your baba. Okay, we're going to trade you. Fuck that. Fuck that shit. And Jeannie Buss, who knows Phil Jackson, that was her fucking man, and she grew up in this business of basketball, and her father was one of the toughest, savviest owners and businessmen in NBA history, and just a Los Angeles stick man. Jerry Buss was about that stick man life. Jerry Buss was putting it down, and Jeannie Buss, apparently, she trumps all those motherfuckers. Even my main man, Magic, Palinka, and LeBron. You're making leaks? Yo, I run this team. I'm the one who got the rings and things. I got the trophies. I got the jerseys. I got the Elgin Baylor, Jamal Wilkes, Norm Nixon uniforms in my crib. This is my team. This is my arena. You don't like it? We'll fucking trade you too. So I'm glad. And that's the way more of these teams need to be running their operations. All the leakers, get the fuck, fire people. Do it the way De Niro did it in that movie, The Untouchables. Do it in front of the whole organization. You know that movie, Untouchables? Robert De Niro played Al Capone, Kevin Costner. You know what I'm talking about? When they're at the table and he beats him over the head with the baseball bat because the guy was giving information. I'm not saying you beat him over the head with the baseball. You bring everybody that has to do with the Knicks, everybody that has to come into the Lakers. This asshole right here. Hey, fucko, you called Wojciechowski, didn't you? Yeah, you called Rachel Nichols, didn't you? Yeah, you. Yeah, here's the emails, here's the text. You're fired, asshole. Make an example, these cocksuckers. Play that clip, Miles.
What am I? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy?
Thanks.
Baseball. A man stands alone at a plate. This is the time for what? For individual achievement. There he stands alone. But in the field, what? Part of a team.
Teamwork.
Looks, throws, catches, hustles, part of one big team. Bats himself to live long day, Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, and so on. If his team don't field, what is he? You follow me? No one. Sunny day, stands a full of fans. What does he have to say? I'm going out there for myself. But I get nowhere unless the team wins.
Team.
That's how you got to do shit. Like the Giants. Holy shit. Sorry, I'm drinking a little ginger ale. Holy shit, the Giants traded Odell Beckham in the darkness of the night. Now, I have been on record talking about my love and frustrations for Odell Beckham. And, you know, I wish we would have kept him, but I understand why he wasn't happy there. Listen, this guy, I think he's 26 years old, 25 years old. He's a fucking stallion. He's a Ferrari. He's like a yellow Ferrari or a purple Ferrari or a cherry red Ferrari. He wants to let loose on the 405 freeway. He wants to shine. And as much as I love Eli Manning cannot drive that Ferrari. Eli Manning can't get that Ferrari going 85, 100, 120. Now, I don't like fast driving cars in terms of, you know, I don't believe in that. I think it's very, very dangerous to do. But you know what I'm saying. Odell wants to go 110 on the fucking freeway. I want to go down the fucking sideline. I want a motherfucker throwing me the ball. I want the wind in my curly bleach blonde locks. And I want to do a one-handed catch every fucking weekend. And I get it. I don't believe in throwing quarterbacks and teammates under the bus in any sport. I don't agree with that. I don't think it's good. I think it's detrimental. And we all know Odell has been a fucking baby and just done antic after antic. But yo, if I'm 26 and I've had injuries, he knows. He's not stupid. Yo, you only get to do this for a few years. And now that he's with Baker Mayfield, as much as I can't stand Cleveland sports, I feel bad for them. I pity them. Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Kareem Hunt, and Njoku, Nick Chubb. Yo, that's going to be the greatest show on turf. To me, that's reminding me of the Miami Heat Big Three. That's must-watch TV next season. And as much of a shithole as Cleveland is, and you're never going to be as sexy and as fly and as dope, and the parties, and the stardom that Odell Beckham had in New York, that ain't never going to happen on your best night in Cleveland, Duke. And after the first or second week in Cleveland in September, the rain and the cold comes early out in that motherfucker. You know, all the billboards on Fifth Avenue and the Head and Shoulders commercial, that's going to dip. That is going to dip. But as a football player, I understand why Odell was like, yo, I only got 3, 4, 5 years of this shit where I'm really, you know, physically able to do what I can do now, which is be a fucking Ferrari, be a purple-haired, you know, he dyed his hair purple at one point. He's got those fucking blonde, and be just a motherfucking star on the football field. So I get it. And the reason why I brought up the Odell trade, beside the fact that it was a big deal, is that it just happened. Adam Schefter didn't know. Ian Rappaport didn't know. It was just announced. And that's the way more sports deals need to be made. That fuck Ian Rappaport. Last week he announced, oh, Antonio Brown, it looks like he's going to the Buffalo Bills. That's that. Now, you were wrong, asshole. You were wrong. I love Schefter. So a great piece on Adam Schefter. Great guy. And he doesn't seem like his whole life is dependent on gossip. But these fucking Wojciechowskis and these gossip guys, that their whole life is gaining information for their betterment. If I'm a GM, I'm like, why am I telling Wojciechowski or Ian Rappaport my business and it could possibly jeopardize my business? When the trade is done, we'll announce it. Fuck am I giving you this stuff so you could get a $50,000 bonus at the end of the year? You breaking me off? Like Felicity Huffman? You ain't breaking me off. Fuck these guys. Listen, I'm sad to see Odell Beckham go. I've ranted about him. The Giants need a quarterback. And if we just signed Golden Tate, who's another good player. He's not a big play guy like Odell. He's more slotty. And I think, you know, Eli will be able to feed him a little bit. But the fact that the 9 New York Giants are starting the season next year, unless something big happens with Eli Manning again, I don't know how much I could take. I don't know how much more this shit I could take where we're just lose and lose and lose. And the Knicks and, You know, we need something good to happen for New York sports. And I'm not a baseball dude, as we all know, but we need something good to happen with the Giants and the Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. We deserve it. And the Jets, we got Le'Veon Bell. That's great. But the fuck, man. I don't know. I need those parades. I need those rings and things. You know what I mean? That mediocrity, that ain't for me. I am Rappaport Podcast. What else is going on? Fucking Juicy Jesse Somlay. This fucking guy. Yo, this dude's stupider than I thought. Juicy Jesse Somlay showed up to court today. This fucking guy, with all the charges that he has, could possibly, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But with all the charges added up, if they were all given to him in the max sentence, he could do 64 years in jail. I don't expect that to happen. This fucking clown showed up to court today, all indignant and all like highfalutin, like, you know, like he's been done wrong. And I found the cure for cancer and somebody stole my cure for cancer and showed up in court and pleaded not guilty. Duke, you're guilty, Duke. And I'll say this, if somehow, some way it's proven that you're not guilty and you're somehow, some way a victim in all this, that'll be the greatest comeback story ever since North Carolina State beat the Houston Rockets with Jim Valvano in the NCAA tournament. But I just do not see that happening. The writing is on the wall. You're faking jacks, Juicy Jesse. And you're walking around like something has been done to you. You had the whole nation, particularly the city of Chicago, scanning and watching videotape after videotape after videotape of this alleged attack. There's nothing on the videotape. Not a fucking thing. You're guilty, Juicy Jesse. Stop faking jacks. Cop a plea. Do 3 months in jail, community service, pay the fine, go to a mental institution, okay? And then come back. Because otherwise, you're looking at real time, B. You're looking at real fucking prison time, Juicy Jesse. You're not the gay Tupac. You're not even the fake gay Tupac. You're not even the real Juicy Jesse Somlay. You're just a jack faking motherfucker seeking attention. This is all that fire festival. I'm going to get my kids into the school by any means necessary. Yo, not everybody is that dude. Not everybody is a century, a game-changing, once-in-a-lifetime person, and not everybody needs to be. What else? This happened in Staten Island. Staten Island, which is... Staten Island is like the Cleveland of the five boroughs. Like, there's nothing going on in Staten Island. But Staten Island has historically been a place where mobsters have lived. The Gottis, this mobster, that mobster. They filmed some of The Godfather out there because of this. The Michael Corleone house, the Corleone compound that was in The Godfather and The Godfather Part 2 were shot out there in Staten Island. Well, apparently the mob is on and popping out in Staten Island still and in New York City, because last night at 9 p.m., Francesco Frankie Boy Cali, the mob boss of the notorious, infamous Gambino crime family, was killed, shot 6 times right outside of his home at 9 p.m. A blue pickup truck was leaving the scene shortly. This, that, and the other. Cali has been in and out of jail. There's been indictments against this guy. Apparently, he's done a lot of things about a lot of things, and I ain't saying any of it because I don't want anybody coming after me. But this was the first shooting of a crime boss in New York City since they whacked Paulie Castellano at the steakhouse. I think it was Sparks Steakhouse in 85. So we might be ready for to hit the mattresses, as they said in The Godfather, anytime soon, because people haven't gotten whacked like this since the 80s. And of course, in the 70s, it was on and popping. I am Rappaport Podcast. Finally, on this I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, I want to, and I want everybody to celebrate this weekend the birthday of the late, great Sean Price. You know, I've talked about him a lot on the podcast. It's crazy because he had discussed being on the podcast. We just never got him on. Sean Price, the MC, the Brooklyn MC, one of a kind, shit-talking MC, could rhyme for days, could rhyme over any beat. He still has a bunch of music because he would just make music because it was just in him and it was easy and it came easy. And he had such a great sense of humor with his music and his puns, and so witty but so street, so much gangster shit, but so many different... Just such a good sense of humor and a good dude, and he passed away way too soon, and I like to celebrate the life, not the death. So this weekend, play a little Sean Price. Let me get a little bit of that Sean Price right now, Miles. Let me get some of that straight music that was produced by Ninth Wonder to take me out of here. So we'll go out of here on a little Sean Price. This is straight music. By Sean Price, produced by Ninth Wonder. This is the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. You know what it is. You know where to find us. And that's it. We're done.
Stuck in the jam. Why you want to fuck with me, fam? I'm trying to live a square life. You want to fuck up my plan. I'm a bus fucker. I throw you under a van. Throw the van in reverse and then I do it again. Grand Theft Auto, the man with the sketch also. Two turntables detected and touch torso. Niggas thinking that the family sweet. Run up on ruck and get beat with hands and feet, nigga. Kimbo slice and a slice of Jim Kelly. Thing go popping then enter your thin belly. Fuck being humble, I'm better than everybody. Melancholy niggas get hit with a heavy shotty. Dumb fuckers don't know how the rules go. Young pups can't fuck with the Cujo. You bark better than you bite. Yeah, I bark when I'm better when I fight. Some of the nicest nigga in the game is friends. If I do a song with him, then the friendship will end. Saw loser, spitting the raw, ignore rumors. That nigga's frauds like John Claude and Broad Bloomers. East Coast niggas, West Coast niggas. I eat most niggas with the sketch close, nigga. I make you mad you living. Fucking with Sean Franks, that's a bad decision. I was once fucked up from the ash I risen. Lot of fights almost got slashed in prison. I had money on my head, you can ask my Evan. This rap is an actual fact that's written. I will fuck a nigga up, but if cash is given, I will split a nigga head, call it bad division. I dismember your memory holes. Dedicate this to Timothy Stone. I'm me.